My name is Cal C, and Sal Sharaf presents the second episode of My Story. My Story is the latest podcast series from Sal Sharaf Radio that focuses on various individuals who take us into their world and share their stories about their journey towards accomplishing their dreams. I like to call it a podcast journal, you know, if there's such a word. On this episode, we'll be featuring the debut segment of Zaria Santiago, who is completing her sophomore campaign at the University of Maryland on a track and field scholarship. And I have to add, look, as a young woman, she's very accomplished. From the fact that she was wiping out the field in her events at OFSAs in high school, to being a multiple-time national champion, to representing Team Canada and finishing with silver at the IAAF Under 18 World Championships in 2015, to finishing third at the Under 20 World Championships the year after that, to placing second in the Pan Am Junior Championships in Peru in 2017. And even in the early parts of her track season this year, her relay squad set a school record, finishing third in the 4x400 meter event at the Florida Relays last month, by almost 2 seconds, I should add. Look, she's on her way. There's no other way around that. Now, Zaria takes the time to share a story about the beginnings of her journey and her love affair with the sport. So I thank you in advance for taking the time to listen. And in the meanwhile, Sal Sharaf is available wherever you listen to your podcasts. Listen and subscribe, rate and review all the shows from Sal Sharaf, which you can listen to on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Google Podcasts, Spotify, as well as Stitcher. And to catch up on the rest of my catalog of podcast shows, make sure you subscribe right here to SouthShoreAv.com. Once again, that's SouthShoreAv.com. This is my story on South Shore Ave Radio. In the pursuit of achieving your dreams, we all have a story. Here's Zaria's.
My name is Zaria Santiago, and this is my story. I first fell in love with track and field at my first OFSA meet. So this would have been early in high school, grade 9. At this point, it was the biggest track meet I'd been to.
How important were your parents in terms of the support and the environment that they had for you in terms of nurturing your dreams?
Very supportive. They're the ones who put me in track and field in the first place. I was about 6 or 7 years old when they signed me up, and they encouraged me to keep sticking with it as I grew up. Always taking me all my appointments, whether it be the chiropractor, seeing the massage therapist, making sure I was going to practice even the days that I didn't want to. So yeah, they were extremely supportive.
Now, was there a moment that you felt like you wanted to quit at one point? Like, take us through the beginnings of those moments of doubt, or when you had those moments of doubt.
So as I said, I started when I was 6. So I started when I was pretty young. And by the time I got to the age of 12, I'd been doing it for a long time. I was also doing soccer, and I kind of felt like soccer was what I wanted to do. So at that point, I stopped running track for about 2 years. Mm-hmm. But then when I got to high school, I got back into it, and then I immediately stopped soccer and I went back to track. I don't think I fell out of love with soccer. I just remembered, I realized how much I loved track and how good I was at it.
When did it become clear for you that running track was going to be part of your future?
Probably when I made my first Team Canada. So that would have been in 2015 when I went to World Youth in Cali, Colombia. Mm-hmm. At that point, I realized that track was something I was going to be doing for a very long time.
How far did the love go back for you? Did you know even from elementary school how deep the love for it was?
I think in elementary school, it was always out of enjoyment. I knew that I was good at it. I was always winning every event I did. I did the 100, the 200, I even did some field events, high jump, long jump. So I always knew I was good at it. I just didn't know it was something that I was going to want to do for the rest of my life.
Was there a point that you knew that potentially you can be really great at this, where you knew not only can I have a future here, but I might really be something?
Yeah, probably when I picked up the 400 meter hurdles. It was a new event. It was something I wasn't really used to. Like, when I was younger, my parents would have to like bribe me just to run a 200, and then I started running the 400 hurdles. So it was definitely a big jump. And when I started, I realized that every time I ran, I was like shaving seconds off my time. Like when I first ran my first 400 hurdles, I was running like a minute and 4 seconds. And by the end of that first year, I was running a high 56 seconds. So just being able to shave my time so quickly and then make a world team. And then the next year came around and then I made the world's team again. And like not just making the team, but meddling in these events, like at international competitions, I knew it was something that like I was meant to do.
Okay, I gotta ask, how hard was it at the beginning to run hurdles or just to get the hang of it? The combination of physical and the mental stamina of it. I mean, I wouldn't think that would be the easiest thing to do at the beginning.
It was definitely a little difficult in the beginning. I started hurdling in high school. It was actually one of my high school coaches that got me into it. And just overall learning the technique, like the lead leg, the trail, and then what you do with your arms. When I first started hurdling, I had no idea how to move my arms when I went over the hurdle. So it was just like practice and repetition. And I did a couple sprint hurdle races. When you're running sprint hurdles, the hurdle technique is much more important because you have such a short amount of time to finish the race. So I did some sprint hurdle stuff just to build my hurdle technique. And then when I got to the 400 hurdles, it became easier. It felt more natural.
Now, take us through the process of qualifying for the World Championships, like the Youth World Championships. What was your thought process, you know, going into the race?
Going into the race, I knew I was going to have to be able to run some fast times to get into the final. I got out of the heats, it was pretty good, and then I ran in the semifinals. And I didn't exactly run my best race. I did make it into the final, but I was one of the last qualifying spots, so I ended up having to run out of lane one. And then running out of lane one, obviously, it's a lot tighter, like the bends are tighter going around the track, so I was a little nervous about that. And just lane one and lane eight, those are the lanes that no one really wants to run in, so I wasn't exactly excited about it, but I ran the race and I ended up finishing in second place, and then that was one of the fastest times that I've ever ran, so it worked out in the end.
And what was your thought process afterwards, like after you ran through that whole ordeal of running in lane one and then finally and being able to medal, like even when you, I would say probably from when you're going on the stand to accept your medal, like what was going through your mind through that point, like wait a minute, I medaled? Yeah. Like I almost won?
I guess when I finished the race, it was relief. Just relief that I got through it. And then the happiness kicked in. And then when I realized, like, okay, I'm on the podium. Like, I got a silver medal. This means I'm second in the world for my age group. Like, it's such a huge accomplishment. So definitely a relief at first and then a whole lot of happiness.
What was it about the University of Maryland that made you feel at home? Like, because I'm sure you had your share of great scholarship offers, right?
Yeah, I was recruited by a lot of schools. I took all five of my visits. UMD was the last visit that I took, so by the end I'd already seen a lot of the schools. I already had a good idea of what I wanted from what I didn't like, what I liked from what I knew wouldn't really work well for me. And even from the home visit, like my coaches, Coach Valman and Coach Siebert, they came out to meet me and my parents, and I knew from the home visit that like that it was a good fit, just from like how they described the school and just how what they already knew about me and like their coaching techniques and stuff. And then when I actually took my visit to the University of Maryland, I got to the area and I loved it. I saw the campus and I loved it. I met the team, the trainers, and then I just fell in love with the school. I fell in love with the physical school, with the people at the school, and what the school stood for as far as like their academics and their level of academics.
And how about Washington overall? Like, how did the city kind of feel for you? Did it kind of feel like almost similar to home, or was it just completely different in a way that it's an attraction for you in a way? Like, what was it about the city?
Yeah, it didn't really feel similar to home, but it was more like kind of like a new experience. So the area in DC, it was, I guess you could call it like a foreign area to me, but like I loved the experience.
What did attaining a scholarship mean to you?
It was really important. When I was in high school and I started doing well in track, I knew that going to the U.S. for track and field specifically was something that I wanted to do. And being able to get there, like, on a scholarship, like, on a full scholarship was definitely important.
Outside of your parents, who were your biggest motivators coming up through the track and field ranks? Was it a coach? Was it a superstar that you looked up to? Who were the motivators for you that kept that fire burning for you?
A few different people. One, the coaches that I work with, just keeping me motivated in practice. The older athletes that I trained with, I looked up to them a lot, and I saw them go through the process of making it to the NCAA and making it to the school that they wanted. So, like, I definitely admired them and what they did. My trainers that work with me, like my chiropractor, my massage therapist, they all kind of played a role in helping forming me to become like the athlete that I am today.
So which artist is dominating your playlist right now?
Ooh, switching it up a little bit. Mm-hmm. Okay. I would have to say Black.
Okay.
Black, yeah. I went to his concert a few months ago. Yeah, he's all over my playlist.
Wow, I thought you were going to say Beyonce. That's like always
she's
the go-to
good too.
For people.
She's good too.
That's always a go-to. What do you mean? It's Beyonce. It's what are you talking about?
There's a few. I mean, Black, Migos, Drake, mm-hmm. Roy Woods, J. Cole. I could go on. Okay. I could go on forever.
I have one more question for now that I want to ask you before we wrap up for now. Mm-hmm. Where do you see yourself long-term wise, like in terms of having an impact on Team Canada, track and field, or representing your country? Like, I won't even take it 5 years from now. Yeah. I'll just say that let's say 2 years from now.
Definitely want to go to the Olympics more than once, preferably. See how far I make it there. Long-term, I see myself as an Olympic athlete. All right, that's it. My name is Zari Santiago, and this is my story for now.
Thank you all for listening to the second episode of My Story, the latest podcast series from South Sharav Radio. It's truly been a pleasure. I would like to thank Zaria Santiago for sharing her beginnings of her journey with us. Like I said before, this is just the beginning. She's winning the game of life so far, and she's only getting started. So I suggest you stay tuned to everything she's doing this spring and this summer. I also want to send a special shout out to her parents and to her family, as well as the University of Maryland for having a hand in making this story be heard. It's been an honor. And I also want to send a shout out to Beats by Bruises and Bricks Beats for the musical production on the intro and outro music. I thank you guys for coming through in the clutch. And I also want to shout out Jay Farrell for the background production that you heard throughout this episode. Much appreciated, brother, as always. And continue to check out this series throughout the year. We're going to continue to follow Zaria's journey, so make sure you tune in. Better yet, make sure you listen and subscribe and rate and review this episode and all episodes from South Shore Ave. And you can listen and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, as well as Spotify. And to listen to my entire catalog of podcast shows, make sure you subscribe to SouthShoreAve.com. Once again, that's SouthShoreAve.com. For Zaria Santiago, this is Cal C, and you've just tuned in to My Story on South Shore Ave Radio. Until next time, folks, peace.